it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, crossover time. Let's welcome in Willard and Dibs. Yeah, I mean, Nick Wright came down Willard's road. That doesn't sound true. Do you like the red zone?
Do I like the red zone? Do you mean the channel?
Yes.
Or do you mean, like, do I like it when my team goes inside the 20?
The TV.
Of course I do.
Like, apparently you love it because you had the dude who does it shout out your kids.
Scott Hansen, yeah.
It's the best show on television.
Well, Nick Wright believes that you need to start watching the NFL like an adult.
Oh.
Start to finish.
Okay.
One game.
All right.
There you go. Welcome.
Yeah, there you have it.
I do that when I go to a game. Other than that, you can keep yourself out of my living room.
But first of all, your team's on.
You watch the whole 49ers.
Of course.
Games.
Yeah. Actually, that is the only hang on a second. That's the only argument that actually happens on a football Sunday in my house. And it ends up with my kids bickering with each other and all challenging their own 49er fandom. My daughter will yell at my sons that they're more into fantasy than they are into the Niners because they would rather have the Niners on a silent side TV with the sound on the red zone, and Dad ain't having that. Dad gets the Niners on the big TV, red zone, no sound side TV, which is the way my daughter likes it, and then we fight. When they grow up and get their own house someday, then they can decide.
Yeah, I have no
That's
problem.
That's pretty much how it works.
Yeah, I think he's got to be talking about people who wake up at 10 in the morning and put the red zone channel on.
That's exactly what we do.
That's right.
But
you put it on at 9:59 to get that 60-second countdown, and his kids apparently start dancing in the pajamas.
What I'm saying is if the Niners were to also play at 10.
No, then when the Niner game is on.
This Sunday,
yeah. But there's a second TV.
That's fine.
Yeah. We put a second TV on a perfectly placed table, and we watch both. But the sound is on the Niner game, and the Niner game gets the main stage.
Yes. But does red zone get the main stage if your team isn't on?
Of course. The
Absolutely,
only stage.
Yeah.
Okay, so I usually like to pick whichever game from the 10 a.m. slate I really want to lock in on. I'll put that on the big screen, and then red zone will be on the smaller screen.
Well, that's what I would do.
Because I would rather watch a full game.
I get it. The second screen is actually on a different floor.
Oh.
I've got to pull things out of the wall.
Right, computers, you know.
Right, yeah. I got to move. So I don't do it until the Niner game is on.
Gotcha.
And this Sunday is an interesting one in the afternoon window because this will be a single game experience for me because it's Philly and Kansas City.
Mm.
Super Bowl rematch, and there's only three games in the afternoon. You get 9 in the morning, so it'll be a nano box for Scott Hansen.
So good.
It's a 9-3 split, which is probably my least favorite. And then you got the one Sunday, you got the two Monday.
I don't know what 1 o'clock did to anybody. But, like, they leave it crumbs sometimes. I get, like, Philly-Kansas City is a great game. But, like,
well, and also, this was one. This was one where it's a two Monday. So you got the Thursday, the Sunday night, and the two Mondays.
Yeah.
So you only have 12 games anyway.
And that's what it is, the Monday.
Looking
thing.
At the way it broke down, because normally if you can have the Super Bowl rematch be the Thursday opener, you do it. But I would bet that Fox, with the first pick in the NFL games draft, they picked Philadelphia and Kansas City.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's all eyes on that game. And, I mean, that's the only one that I really care about, especially now that we got the news about the 49ers quarterback, which is not good. But I think that's the game for the weekend. You know, it's not just Thursday, Monday, Sunday. If there was a game Friday, that would also come secondary. Super Bowl rematch is what everyone wants to see.
Yeah.
How are you guys feeling about the quarterback?
Yeah. And in case you're just joining us, Brock Purdy. Kyle Shanahan said Brock Purdy's a long shot to play on Sunday, mostly because of the toe. And when he was asked if it could be a multi-week injury, he said it's possible.
Yeah, which tells me he ain't playing this this weekend. If you're talking about it that early in those terms, this is probably – there's different grades of turf toe. This is probably a grade 2 turf toe situation. Which means that, he's not going to play this week. He's a question mark for the home opener, and it sucks. I view football totally different with any football team who's playing without his quarterback. Like, you could just
go up there and figure out a way to win.
Right, Kittle, McCaffrey, when we do that, I'm like, all right, you can game plan around that. You can't game plan around not having your quarterback.
It's hard, and I've got some good news and some bad news on my pre-show analysis of this very situation. Which would you like first?
Always bad news first.
I'm with Willard. Yeah.
The bad news is, without Brock or Jimmy at quarterback, Shanahan is 9-32, winning percentage of 220.
So he has won
9 times.
Okay, right.
Included in those are 5 by Nick Mullins, and I counted the Hoyer games before Jimmy came, and he was 0-6. So some of it is circumstantial, but the point is they're 9-32, and they don't have those two guys. The good news is Mac Jones, before coming here, was better than Sam Darnold when he came here. Better record, better quarterback rating, better TD to interception ratio. So the backup you're getting when he comes in here, even though it's obviously newer in his tenure here, he's had a better career than Darnold did when Darnold came here.
McCorkle season. Yeah, I think that's...
that's your good news.
Finally here.
Yep.
I mean, this has been rumored for 4 years, so Sunday's the day. Kyle and Mac.
Yeah, exactly. I think Let's coming into it. The game, a lot of people feel like if there was one game that you would want a backup quarterback to play, it'd be against the Saints. Now, I know they look good in week one, but that's not a good football team. You'd certainly have him play this week as opposed to maybe Brock Purdy could push it to, you know, get back before the home opener. It's just like kind of anticlimactic, though. It's all right, week one, huge win. Road win, division win, you lose Kittle, Juwan doesn't finish the game, and now Purdy might be out multiple weeks. It just sucks.
Even more so, thank goodness they won. Thank goodness they won.
Right,
last Sunday.
Right. That win gets bigger and bigger goodness. In the rearview mirror.
Thank goodness they won.
And also, it's just the nature of a 17-game season where none of us thought that Brock would play all 17, and now he might be trending toward playing 14, which is... If it's still 14-17, you brought your backup in, your Mac-up, you brought him in to win these games. You brought Mac Jones in to be able to go to New Orleans and still win the game.
No doubt.
Grandy, anything on Mac-up? I thought the delivery was good.
There was a sheepish small grin.
Three, a 4.
I think he was trying to hide, actually.
I give him a 4.
A Grandy 3 is Grandy a real 3. 4.
Yeah, it was not a 4. That Grandy's was not tough. A 4. You can't give him a 4 if you didn't even laugh. I didn't hear you audibly laugh. You can't do that and then give him a 4.
And
that's against the rules.
And that's my fault.
Yeah.
I wasn't in the moment. And if I would have been in the moment, I would have laughed.
You got to
no matter what.
You need to lock in.
Yeah.
I know.
All right.
That was a yellow flag.
Let's see, what else did we, Juwan Jennings, looks like they avoided a little, it could have been a more serious injury. He's listed as day-to-day, so he could play on Sunday in New Orleans. And one guy we were talking about, we felt like, you know how you get to Wednesday and you realize that is like 2 or 3 things we never got to, but football's got so many things. Like, 2 things. One is, has anybody explained what Brock Purdy was thinking about on the jump pass that he threw?
I mentioned it yesterday.
Did you see the jump pass?
It's inexplicable to me. Why? I mean,
it's weird.
Pre-toe injury.
Okay.
Certainly. And I remember the Tim Tebow, he made a living out of it at Florida where he would skimmer up to the line and just jump and flip it over. He did that so many times, but I don't know if I've seen Brock Purdy or any NFL quarterback do it like that. That was a legitimate jumper.
Jumping is just a bad idea if you're not playing basketball or at the gym. It's just a bad idea. Does anybody have cabinets in their house where there's stuff on them but you can't reach?
Oh, yeah.
Right? And like you finally need that. You put the stuff up there that you only need once a year, but then you finally need
the menorah, for example.
Am I going to have to go get a chair from the kitchen table to go over there and get... No, I'm going to try to jump. And it does.
Yeah.
That doesn't go well.
Your son is 6'6". You could just have Sir Grab-a-Lot get up there and get it done.
I could if he would. Yeah. Did he gain another inch?
He gets taller every week. Damn. You live with him, but every time I see a picture of you next to him, you look tiny. I know you're not.
I think it was actually, speaking of, it works for tall people, the jump pass. Like, I was just looking up. Derrick Henry had a jump pass for a touchdown.
Yep.
I think Josh Allen has jump pass for a touchdown. These guys are like 6'5", though.
Right.
Brock Purdy is nowhere close. He's not in the canopy like Willard's kid. So I don't know what the hell he was thinking. And a couple of the other things that, like, I just feel like throughout the game, so many different things happen that get erased by really the final two drives. But I noticed, at least on our show, I don't know if you guys talked about it a bunch, but we didn't really even get into Nick Bosa a ton. Because the defense, the focus was on all the young players and a lot of the fresh faces and Robert Saleh, that the highest paid player on defense just kind of got swept under the rug.
Well, meaning what? What did you want to say about him?
That's what he's paid to do, and it felt like last year he wasn't doing a lot of it.
No, but didn't you feel good about how he looked on Sunday?
Oh, it felt great.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like, yeah.
No, but like, we just kind of pushed him to the wayside.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Yeah, there wasn't, I mean, you're right. I don't think that's what people were like lining up to see, but he made an impact right away.
Yep.
on the opening drive. And, like, you need more games to know, is it different because there are different people around him? Is it Saleh? He gave a lot of credit to Saleh right after the game. Obviously, that's the coordinator he's been wanting all along. So, yeah, good early returns. The defensive side of the ball was the best side of the ball on Sunday, for sure.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. See, did you hear my thought on that win?
Which win?
The 49ers win on Sunday.
49er win?
So,
it's been a few wins lately.
Just getting to a thought now?
No,
this was 3 days ago.
Just another way of looking at it. If you look at this schedule objectively, and things can change, but if you... This was probably their second hardest game on the entire schedule.
I would disagree with that, just based on the way, not only the stack, but also Tampa, for example, Tampa's a very good team. That's a road game. Short week at LA.
That's fair.
I don't want to tip my hand on my lock, which comes tomorrow, but one thing that a lot of experts talk about is the Thursday night game when you have to travel. So the road team on Thursday, especially if you have to go long distances. So I think the Niners going to LA on a Thursday is still tougher than this. But look, it's Seattle, and Seattle is better. So all these divisional games inherently are going to be tougher than, you know, the Jacksonville, the Carolina, and some of the other dreck.
When you guys make a predict, did you guys make a win total? Do you have 11
and
6?
Yeah, we did it at the summit.
Okay.
Yeah.
11 and
I'm
6.
I'm an 11 and 6 guy.
You were there.
I was 10 and 7.
Yeah, I was 11.
Okay. Here's the other. When you got to 11 and 6, both of you, do you go through each game and do your WL, or do you just...
The way I did it was you probably split the 6 in the division.
Okay.
And you probably... I'm going to give you a conservative 5 and 3 against the Souths. You play both Souths. And then I'm giving you 3 and 0 against the trash, which is... I guess Chicago's not really trashy, but the Giants and
this one.
Cleveland.
Oh, no, this one's South.
Cleveland's the other one.
Cleveland.
Your three last placers, I gave them all that. Now, if you go 2-1 on those, can you get 6-2 in the South? I think that's also very likely. So all that leads to 11.
I wonder if anybody would.
It goes to 11.
I wonder if anybody would have changed their number, though, if you could do it. Obviously, the Brock Purdy injury changes it, but let's say you had done it Monday morning, knowing that they had won in Seattle. Like, would you change? Because
that's kind of what I'm getting at.
I agree with you.
I would have, yeah.
I agree with you in principle. I have no idea what their toughest games are going to be because some teams will be worse than we think. Some will be better. Who's available for those games? That's why I don't do the preseason win-loss. But if your concept is, on paper, could last week's game have been – their second hardest? It could have been their hardest.
Yeah, I guess
like Tampa and the Rams are the only other two possibilities, and I don't even know how great Tampa is this year. They didn't look awesome Sunday.
Yeah, for me it's that when you look at that schedule and if you come up with 10 and 7, like even if you don't do the W's and L's before and now you look and you say okay, 10 and 7 or 11 and 6, let me try to figure out which is like what I'm you can find 11 wins with a loss to the Seahawks in the opener.
For sure.
That's kind of what I'm talking about. So, like, they got one in the hand right now, I feel like. And if they beat the Saints, They still have one in the hand, but they have one in the hand.
Yeah, although
it's changed a little, obviously.
Totally. To me, I know everyone's assuming a win over the Saints. It's an NFL team, and now you're playing with your backup quarterback and your backup tight end and a lot of your backup receivers. And I don't know. I don't know. Does anyone look at the how's the number changed?
The spread?
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and punch that up.
What's the number based on what just happened?
I think it opened at 4.5 for the Niners. I just think it's hard to go through each game.
It opened at 7.
And then 7?
I'm talking like Sunday night. It was 7, and then it moved because of the injuries that we found out about. But now Vegas will look at this as almost a confirmation that Brock will not play.
Yeah, I see it at 3 now.
Okay.
In a various number of shops. The pool they send it out on Tuesday, and so I got the spreadsheet yesterday, and it was 4.5.
Yep.
So already there was some ripple that, you know, Brock maybe not, and Kittle for sure. Yep. And so now with the news being all but official, and I guess he could still play on Sunday. I don't think he will, but down to 3. And, it gets more interesting as the week goes on. And, you know, McCorkle getting his first practice as QB1 today.
Well, it is. If you do the win-loss thing, then game 2, it's already screwed up. Because Purdy's not playing. And
that's why you don't play win loss.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going
to
do it.
To your point, if I looked at 11-6 with the parameters I already laid out, I had yesterday or Sunday as a loss.
Yeah.
If you're going to split your division, you're probably going to lose at Seattle and at LA. You're going to win at Arizona just because that's what happens against the Cardinals, and they're going to beat you here. And then that's your 3-3. So that includes a week 1 loss. And yeah, you didn't lose it, so you're 1 up.
Although it's strange because Brock Purdy hasn't lost in Seattle, right?
He hasn't. That's correct. It's 4-0.
He's made that place that was previously a house of horrors feel pretty good about. Before the game, I was a little hesitant. I felt, all right, well, Seattle was, you know, 10-win team last year. They got a new quarterback, but that defense, I still think, is pretty decent. But then right before the game, I just felt a little sense of calm because Brock Purdy under center has been so good in that building. And it just didn't feel to me like, especially after watching their first drive, that they had any sense of hesitance or that they weren't just going to try and find a way to win that football game up until, of course, Kittle goes down. But I don't know. Brock Purdy to me instills confidence. And that to me is why if they lose this game on Sunday, I would not be shocked.
With each passing day, the drive that he finished with the pass to Ton just becomes a bigger drive. I'm stunned. In the moment, you're like, right, all games are big. But when you start thinking about what had taken place with the kicker, and you start now, and then the Kittle injury, and now the Purdy injury, and the fact that the Rams and Cardinals both won their football games, with each day since Sunday, that Purdy drive to take the lead becomes bigger.
Yeah.
Than it was in the moment.
The Tonjes play is obviously big because it was a culmination sensation. But for me, it's the double move on 2nd and 9 to Pearsall that goes for 45. Yeah, that was the one. Because the opening drive, you give it to CMC and he gets a yard. And it's like, okay, Shanahan, is this really what we're doing? And then you get good protection, which didn't happen all game. You get protected, double move, perfect throw, 45 yards. Now we got action.
Yeah. Anyway, I can't.
Hey,
I'm a little distracted.
What's the matter, Steiny?
I know. So yesterday we were talking about some things to be concerned about. Like, is it Kittle's injury, Juwan, the Purdy toe shoulder? Yours was the McCaffrey workload.
Yeah.
So what is McCaffrey's workload going to be this week when it's a backup quarterback?
Well,
Worried that he's going to touch the ball 40 times?
No, it'll be less.
It'll be less.
Yeah, much, significantly less. Okay. That's true. The reason one of the big reasons he got 31 was because of the time of possession. They had 38 minutes. So if that drops down to 30 to 32, probably gives him 4 or 5 less touches automatically. He sat out today with I do think Brian Robinson's going to play more and more. I mean, he's not going to supplant McCaffrey, but how many? He had.
I thought he played exactly the right amount. Yeah,
he had 10.
10.
And how many?
9 carries, 1 catch.
How many plays? I mean, I'm sorry. How many plays?
Christian's usage, like his snap count and his usage.
Right.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Was less Sunday than it was two seasons ago for their opener in Pittsburgh. So, okay. Your point is a very, very strong one that people, like I heard, was it Bobby? That Bobby in Los Altos was screaming how irresponsible like Kyle was yesterday. And I was driving around listening to that call. I'm like, it wasn't irresponsible. He actually spelled him a lot. You don't know. I love that people still think they watch football like it's a video game, and they think the coach has a little stick in his hand and decides where the ball goes on every play. And that's just not the way. Like, he had 9 catches, and maybe on some of them Christian was option one, but Christian is often a check down. You don't know if he's going to get a touch on that particular play. That's the way it went. His usage, I thought, was exactly the way it should have been. You have injuries to other pass catchers out there. You end up in a one-score game late. Like, the ball went his way. But you're right. That number, of course, it's highly likely to come down this week. 31 a week would be absurd.
Yeah, and the usage would count the other play where he got targeted, and because they tried to use him and they didn't connect. So 32 of 58 snaps for McCaffrey. On 32 of the 58, he was principally involved in having the ball given to him or thrown his way, 55%. Robinson was 11 for 18. So his usage was
so
even
higher.
So
he played 18 plays?
And he got 11 plays where he got a carry or a target. So his usage was actually higher than McCaffrey. So
percentage, yeah.
It's not a long shot or a leap to think that Robinson's will go up a little. McCaffrey's will go down a little, but again, it depends on the nature of the game, right?
I mean, some people might say irresponsible. I would say necessary. I mean, you don't win that game if he doesn't touch the ball as many times as he does. So that's the balance. Also, too, I know that Brian Robinson was brought in to be the backup, and he's not a bad running back, but I'm sorry, like, you can't tell me just watching the game the difference when McCaffrey is in, when he touches the ball, whether it's on the ground or through the air. And when Brian Robinson Jr. touches the ball, like, there's a different level that's on the field.
Right.
And so the Niners need that.
Yeah, they need Robinson.
No.
He had more yards per carry than that. You're right. They were different when they ran. But Brian Robinson had more yards per carry.
He did. There's also a reason he didn't touch it 22 times, because on a couple of those plays, like, seriously, like, if you're watching McCaffrey and he gets 3 yards,
mm-hmm.
some running backs don't get any.
Yep.
Christian McCaffrey is able to turn a 2-yard catch into a 25-yard catch. Brian Robinson's not doing that.
Not yet. So, he's also keyed on more by the defense when he's on the field.
No doubt.
Yeah. Like, there's an anticipation play from the defense, right?
I'm just messing with Evan.
I know.
I thought Robinson, like...
Is it working, Evan?
No, I thought Robinson
been doing it for
got
4 hours.
Better, like, over the course of the game.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And if you look at the drive chart, when they had the field goal blocked on the second drive of the third quarter, he had 23 yards on 4 carries. And there were 2 plays in there, Evan, where he actually did aim. He was able to get the contact and move the pile. One time he broke through and got pushed and shoved and tackled a little bit later. But it's going to be a little bit of a work in progress, I think, with a guy in a new offense with a new scheme and new timing. For the most part, running plays are, all right, hit that hole and do what you can do. But I do think there's some adjustment.
Yeah, I think there's some adjustment. Just give him time, Evan. I'd be a little more patient. You know, there's 16 games left.
Well, I hate to break it to you. They're going to need him on Sunday.
No, they are. They are. All right, gentlemen. Well, you guys have a great show. And take everybody into Thursday.
Well, Greg Cosell's going to join us at 3:15.
Sweet.
Right? So that always will dive in deep to... A, the Niners without Purdy. B, what did Mac Jones actually look like on film last year? And then 3, the dynamic between Dibbs and Greg, which
that's
is always next level.
Incredible.
It's always next level.
It is incredible. And you know one thing, Cosell probably actually this summer, that's when he really can lock in on the quarterbacks. watch game after game.
No doubt.
It's really hard during the season.
It's I mean, who's got time?
He doesn't watch Red Zone.
No. Red Zone is... Anathema to everything he believes in.
Throw up the idea of like Red Zone.
All right. We'll catch you tomorrow, everybody, on 95.7 The Game.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.